Back in 1975, Wright State University was fortunate enough to receive the Wright Brothers collection from the Wright family. And this collection is really the foundation for all of our aviation collections here today. It includes over 4,000 original prints, which chronicle their flights from Kitty Hawk all the way up to the time that Orville died. It contains their personal library, so we have books, textbooks, Bibles, pamphlets, all kinds of things the brothers used to study aviation and technology during that time period. The collection is also phenomenal because it includes a lot of personal family information, things like their report cards, so you can see how they did in school, all of their father's papers from his work as a bishop in the United Brethren Church, scrapbooks and albums full of images of their flights in Europe and Kitty Hawk and here in Dayton. So the collection is really phenomenal, and it has really propelled the archives here into an international reputation.
Tell me about some of your favorite pieces.
Some of my favorite pieces in the collection, I think immediately of one particular photograph album of Orville Wright's flights at Kitty Hawk in 1911. He went back to do some gliding experiments and hopefully test his automatic stabilizer. The newspapermen showed up, and he decided he wouldn't test that stabilizer because he wasn't sure it would work. But also on that trip with him was his brother Lauren and Lauren's son Horace, who went by the name of Buster. And Buster was maybe 10 or 12 when he went on that trip. And the newspapermen asked Orville, "Why are you here this summer or this fall?" And Orville said Buster needed a vacation and this seemed like a good place to go. And Orville wouldn't talk about his flying to the newspapermen. But we have this wonderful photograph album with pictures of Orville Wright and his brother Lauren and Buster sitting in a boat, and they're just going fishing. And Orville's got his pant legs rolled up, and he's got a big floppy hat on and starched collar, suit coat, and you can see his long underwear because his pants are rolled up. So I think that's one of the really neat things about the collection, are those gems that tell you that these are just ordinary people.
You mentioned diaries. Let's talk about the more personal items from Orville and Wilbur that you have on display here.
We have Orville and Wilbur's report cards, and they're fascinating to look at. You can see what courses they took at school, how they did, and the amazing thing about the report cards is looking at their grades and then thinking about what they accomplished with flight. Wilbur was probably a better student than Orville, but those report cards tell us a lot about them. We have Orville Wright's botany sketchbook from high school. He was a pretty good artist, actually. So you have all of these plant drawings. We also have letters that Wilbur wrote home from Europe. We have postcards that he sent to his nieces and nephews. The postcards, of course, are of Paris and other famous places that his nieces and nephews might never get to visit. But he's taking time from his promotion of the airplane in Europe to write letters home and postcards home to his nieces and nephews. So there are a lot of family things like that that make this collection really rich.
The items here in the archives at Wright State certainly meant a lot to the Wright family, and they placed them in the care of Wright State. Let's talk about how important this collection is overall, not only to people here at Wright State, but to citizens of Dayton.
It can be a point of pride for the community. It not only chronicles the invention of flight, but it really connects that invention to Dayton. It's very important for Daytonians to remember what these two accomplished and that they were hometown boys. So the collection, I think, is very significant in that it chronicles the invention of flight. The collection tells us what family life was like for people living in Dayton at the turn of the century through the Wright brothers' own experiences. It certainly has been a great collection for Wright State to have and to take care of and make available since we are named for the Wright brothers. We like to think that, you know, we take care of this collection. Our logo is the flyer, and we help to inspire our students to achieve the same kinds of things that the Wrights did. And the community can take pride in that as well, knowing that, you know, this invention grew out of just a couple of young men here in Dayton who decided they would pursue something that everybody thought was impossible, and they achieved it.
Let me ask you a personal question. Has your affinity for the Wright brothers changed since you've been in charge of this collection, or were you always interested in that history?
I think when I first came to work here at Wright State, I didn't necessarily know that we had a great Wright Brothers collection, but I very quickly started reading lots of books on the Wright Brothers and brushing up on my aviation history. My father was actually a pilot, and I don't think I ever really appreciated his love for flying until I came to work here in the archives and started reading, you know, the accounts of pilots, looking at logbooks, looking at photographs and films. And then I kind of caught the bug myself, I think. And over the years working with this collection, it's been very important for me as head of the department and working here to know as much as I can about them and be able to talk about their lives and careers. So I think my Wright Brothers bug has really grown since that first time that I was able to come and start working here in 1989. Aviation history has just become something that I'm really interested in, and it has a lot to teach us about who we are and what we're capable of.
Author David McCullough has a new book out about the Wright brothers. Did he do some research here?
Yes, he did. Before David actually came to do research, he sent his research assistant, Mike Hill, to spend some time with us. So we knew David was working on the book. After Mike spent a couple of, you know, research days here, David visited us last October, and I was able to spend an entire day working with him, showing him the collection, answering questions, fetching things for him so that he could see all the different materials in the collection and select photographs for his book.
Tell me about his reaction to the collection here.
I think he was very impressed. We were able to bring materials to him in our reading room, and he was able to spend time actually looking at individual photographs, going through the albums, seeing personal items from them that helped make them more real and more human and alive to him, I think, than just reading books. So I think he was very impressed by the collection and grateful that he was able to come and actually sit here in the archive and have access to all this great material.
You have read McCullough's book?
Yes, I have read it.
Give us your impression.
Yeah, David sent me an advanced copy of his book a couple of months ago, and I immediately sat down and read it. I was impressed with David's storytelling capabilities. So he really is able to tell a story and draw you in to the lives of Wilbur and Orville. I think the thing that hit me the most about the book is the way that he humanizes them. He talks a lot about Wilbur in France and what it was like for him to travel there in 1908 and spend so much time away from home. So I think the book really, it draws you in. You learn more about Wilbur and Orville's personalities, but David is just a very good storyteller, and I think people will find his book easy to read, and also they will discover the Wright brothers' ingenuity and perseverance, and I think that's a strong statement for today.
I've been speaking with Dawn Dewey, head of Special Collections and Archives at Wright State University. Dawn, thanks so much for speaking with us.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.